Wednesday, May 25th, 2022. You are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, coming to you from the Mile High City here in Denver, Colorado, and we are back for another week of talking sports with a dose of common sense. Hey, happy Wednesday to you. I hope your week is off to a good start. Hope you, your family, your friends, everyone is staying strong, everyone is staying healthy. And you know, I'm not sure where you are listening to the podcast at today, but here in the good old US of A, we are on the way toward a three-day holiday weekend. Woo-hoo! And it's not just any weekend, because Memorial Day is a federal holiday in the United States where we mourn the US military personnel who have passed while serving in the United States Armed Forces. It is observed each year on the last Monday of May. Now, many Americans will go visit gravesites, might go attend parades to remember those who have fallen while serving. And we do have a huge debt of honor to those who have paid the ultimate sacrifice for the freedoms that we all enjoy here in the US. I know that I personally will be reflecting, I'll be reflecting on the loss of common sense in our country. It's gone, and it clearly isn't coming back anytime soon. But there is another side to Memorial Day, because Memorial Day weekend here in the States is also kind of the unofficial start of summer. It is the start of swimming pools opening outdoors. It is the start of barbecue and grilling season, even though actually I do that year round. It is the start, it's the start of sundress season, kids. That's what I'm saying. And you know, we actually have a number of sporting events to be watching this weekend over Memorial Day weekend. Of course, we have the NBA conference finals that are going. We have the second round of the Stanley Cup playoffs that are going, and they have been extremely tight and crazy. But don't forget, the Charles Schwab PGA Challenge in Fort Worth, Texas will be going all weekend. It will be finishing up on Sunday. Also on Sunday, we have the 106th running of the Indianapolis 500. And I know Indy isn't what it used to be, but make no mistake, it is still the biggest spectacle in racing. I mean, drivers from all over the world come to Indiana to run that race because the money is just so ridiculously big. It isn't just Indy. The NASCAR group, they will be running too with the Charlotte 600 on Sunday afternoon. That one will go well into the evening. That's a long race. So there is plenty for people to do this weekend. There are plenty of things to watch this weekend in sports. I hope that you enjoy your Memorial weekend, complete with reflection and family and friends and barbecue and maybe drinking and racing. What I'm saying, people, is that this weekend, it's basically just like a Fast and Furious movie.
Ask any racer, any real racer. It don't matter if you win by an inch or a mile. Winning's winning.
I hope you enjoy yours and that you can drink your beer a little less complicated than Vin Diesel ever did in those awful movies. Hey, before we jump into it, I just want to remind you, make sure you're stopping by DailyDoseSports.com, where we have new articles going up every week. We have links to the podcast. We have links to the video. And yes, we even have links to the Daily Dose gear over there. You can get a t-shirt. You can get a sweatshirt. You can get a coffee mug. Whatever you may need. We've got a lot of Daily Dose items available over at tpublic.com. You'll find exactly what you want. We've got new articles being posted every single week. And I'm telling you right now, we have some more stuff coming this summer you are definitely going to want to check out. Be sure you're stopping by there. You might want to add DailyDoseSports.com on that favorites bar, because trust me, we have some stuff going up over there every week. Hey, today on the show, we do have a little sports news to discuss, but then we are going to be taking a look at some schedules, because the NFL released their schedule, and we're going to be looking at some of the more intriguing matchups on it. Plus, don't forget, college football has some games coming. You might not be aware of them. And our Daily Dose Top 5 has taken a few weeks off. It is going to make a return today, so we have a lot to get to today on The Dose. And let's start off in the NBA, where the NBA Conference Finals are now, of course, well underway. The NBA Finals will actually be starting already late next week. And I'm just going to say it. I tried to hold off on it a little bit last week, but I don't think I can hold off anymore. I think I have to say it. Kids, the NBA playoffs have been, well, pretty awful. Close games? Yeah, there haven't been that many of them. The average margin of victory has been double digits throughout. And there are actually a number of reasons why these games have been blowouts so often. It isn't just one thing. There are actually a number of things at play here. For one, we know that in this era of the NBA, we are so in love with the three-point shot. Everybody is shooting threes. Big men are shooting threes. Guards are shooting threes. Coaches are shooting threes. Cheerleaders are shooting threes. Everyone wants to shoot that three-point shot. Hey, if one team gets out of the gate and is hitting those threes and the other team is cold, well, then a two-point game turns into a 16-point game just like that. But that actually isn't the only reason that we're seeing all these blowouts. There is also the fact that, and I don't know, again, how to say this without sounding like old man, get off my lawn, but I want you to think about this. Can you ever remember an era in any sport, basketball, football, hockey, whatever, pick a sport. Can you ever remember an era where players wanted to play less than they want to play right now in the NBA? And I know that we are told, well, it's just load management. It's not that they don't want to play. We're just resting them for the playoffs. But let's be honest. There is also a mentality of, hey, we're going to go out tonight. It's, say, game one, and we're going to give it a try. We're going to see if our shots fall for us. We're going to see if the game goes our way. We're going to see if we get a few calls. And if we do, then we'll hang in here and we'll see if we can win this thing. We'll keep it close. But if we don't, if things go bad, if we start to fall behind, then we'll just cash it in and we'll see if we can catch the next one. Hey, there are a number of nights in these NBA playoffs that we have seen players, we have seen teams completely take their foot off the accelerator. You can see it. You can sense it. They're not out there killing themselves trying to win. They're not out there grinding, trying to find a way to get back in the game. It's happening a lot where you're just seeing a team go out and go, hey, tonight isn't our night. We'll give it a shot in the next game. The NBA playoffs this year have not really been all that much fun to watch. Between the lopsided scores, the poor play, sometimes bad defense, sometimes bad shot selection, and then, of course, we've talked about it before, the terrible, horrible officiating, and it is painful to watch. I'll be honest, I have found myself switching over more to the NHL than sticking with the NBA. And, you know, I never thought that would happen so consistently, where pretty much every night I turn on the TV, I check in on the NBA game, I go, yeah, this doesn't look very good. I'm going to switch over and watch some Stanley Cup hockey instead. I just didn't think in my lifetime that would be so consistent. But right now, as soon as the game turns into a blowout, no, I'm changing the channel. I don't want to watch this anymore. I'm going to go watch hockey. You know, the NBA is now talking about having an in-season tournament, and Commissioner Adam Silver is trying to sell the players on, hey, we need to make this happen. We need to have an in-season tournament. We'll play it off. It'll be short. It'll be quick. And maybe we can generate some excitement. Hey, make no mistake. Holding that tournament and trying to get everyone on board for that, that is to try to spark some interest in a league whose popularity right now, I don't know. It might be taking a little bit of a step back again. Ratings haven't been horrible in these playoffs, but as there are blowouts, we know people start to go, yeah, I'm not going to watch that. Hasn't been very fun. The NBA needs to try to figure out a way to bring the fans back, because right now they are a far cry from their glory days when everybody was rushing home wanting to watch the NBA playoffs that night. The NBA needs to figure some things out. But I mean, hey, as long as they're big in China, right? No big deal. Oh! Speaking of being a long way from their glory days, University of Michigan head coach Juwan Howard recently declined an initial offer from the Los Angeles Lakers for their franchise's head coaching job. He says that he would rather remain at his alma mater, where he will, of course, be coaching his two sons next year. Now, the Lakers have a formal search process in place, but looking at college coaches, sometimes that takes a little bit of extra time. You definitely want to do your homework on that. Now, the Lakers say they have a finalist list of Milwaukee Bucks assistant Darvin Ham, Golden State Warriors assistant Kenny Atkinson, and Portland Trail Blazers coach Terry Stotts. The Lakers are expected to begin conducting in-person interviews in the near future. Now, the Lakers never made a formal offer to Howard, they say, but they also do say that if he had expressed any interest in the Lakers job, his candidacy would have bumped forward very, very quickly. They were definitely interested in him, but he wasn't interested in them. So that isn't happening. But here's a question that I have for you, Daily Dose listener. The Los Angeles Lakers are one of the most storied franchises in all of sports, right? I think we can all agree on that. So can someone please tell me why this glorious franchise is always kind of run like a mom and pop restaurant that's just barely scraping by and trying to keep their doors open? I want you to think about some of the head coaches and some of the general managers that this proud franchise has had in recent years. Guys like Frank Vogel, Luke Walton, Byron Scott, Mike D'Antoni, Mike Brown. And then in the front office, Rob Pelinka, Magic Johnson. I mean, it's almost like they can't afford to hire real people, so they hire like friends and family members. Why in the world are the LA Lakers being run this way? Hey, Dr. Jerry Buss's daughter, Jeannie, she is now the controlling owner, and apparently she didn't learn one single thing from her father, because Jerry Buss always tried to run the Lakers as a first-class operation, even when he didn't have the money to do it that way. Jeannie, meanwhile, has the money, but runs it like Grandma and Grandpa's restaurant. And so sometimes the Lakers are, I don't know, hiring Uncle Magic to come back and he's the chef one night. Or maybe they bring in cousin Kurt Rambis. He stops by, he works the register. Nephew AC Green, he's like bussing tables. And what's weird is that the Lakers have still had a little bit of success running it like this. I mean, remember, they did win that goofy bubble title back in 2020. But the Lakers have also spent big money every single year. And I want you to think about this. In the last 9 seasons, the Los Angeles Lakers have made the postseason twice. Now you can't even get a college coach to consider your head coaching job. And the candidates you're looking at, hey, that's not a real impressive list. Plus, you are upside down on the Russell Westbrook deal. You don't really have any trade or roster options. The LA Lakers are kind of a mess. And as usual, it starts at the very, very top with the front office and the ownership. Kids, we're going to do something today that I don't think we've ever done in the history of the Dose. And I try not to use hyperbole, but I think we are breaking some ground here. I think we are making some history here. Kids, we're going to talk some cycling today. What? I have a story here, courtesy of Daily Dose I-Team President Big Rob, that you might have missed. And how could you not miss it? Because, I mean, it's cycling. But we had a historical event take place last week in cycling, and you probably didn't hear about it. It seems that a gentleman by the name, and I'm going to butcher these names, and I'm going to butcher all of this, a gentleman by the name of Biniam Girmay made cycling history at the Giro d'Italia race when he became the first Black African racer to win a stage of one of cycling's grand tours, when he outsprinted other racers in the 10th stage of the Giro d'Italia. Pretty impressive stuff there for our boy Biniam, right? However, a little good news, now we got a little bad news. The 22-year-old racer had to abandon the race and was unable to continue. He won that one stage, but then he couldn't go any further. What could have possibly taken out this young, talented racer? I mean, was it like cramps? Heat exhaustion? Did he crash? Did he have, I don't know what the technical term in cycling is for it, but did he have like saddle soreness? Is that what it was? No, it seems that in the celebration Following his big win, our boy Binium took a celebratory Prosecco champagne cork to the eyeball while he was on the podium celebrating. Look, I realize this may have been your first victory or whatever, but you don't look down the barrel of a loaded gun, Binium.
You'll shoot your eye out, kid.
Come on. You got to learn from this mistake and you've got to get better. Let's hope Binium is going to be okay. Moving over to some college football news, the NCAA Division I Council announced last week that they will relax restrictions on college football's conference championship games, allowing conferences to determine the teams that would participate in their respective title games. The decision paves the way for conferences to avoid having title game matchups determined by division winners, as well as possibly eliminating divisions within conferences altogether. And as soon as that happened, you saw right away a Power 5 conference change things up, because like minutes after that announcement, the Pac-12 announced that starting in 2022, their conference's title game will feature the teams with the two highest winning percentages. Makes no difference as far as division. And I'm telling you, the Pac-12 gets a lot of things wrong. This is exactly right. Some of the other conferences around the nation need to do the same, because you're limiting the teams that can move on to the college football playoff with these dumb divisions that are based on literally nothing. I would say they're based on geography, but like, who cares? It's a college football conference. That isn't helping you. Get rid of the divisions. Take the two best teams from your conference. You'll be better off for it in the long run. Now, did you see all of the nonsense going on between Alabama head coach Nick Saban and Texas A&M head coach Jimbo Fisher? They full on went at each other last week. And you might have heard all that and you might have been wondering, well, what's going on there? What is it they're arguing about? Why are they arguing? Who should we believe? Well, Nick Saban came out in a press conference and he had a number of things to say. And I don't know what got into Nick, but Nick teed off on some people. Here are a couple of quotes from Nick Saban's press conference. He said, and I'm quoting, "Jackson State paid a guy $1 million last year that was a really good Division I player to come to school. It was in the paper. They bragged about it and nobody did anything about it. Texas A&M bought every player on their team, made a deal for name, image, and likeness. We didn't buy one player, all right? But I don't know if we're going to be able to sustain that in the future, because more and more people are doing it. It's tough." Hey, Nick went full guns blazing at both Deion Sanders and at Jimbo Fisher. Now, is Nick telling the truth there? I don't know that Jackson State paid a guy $1 million. That's a little bit tough. Did Jimbo allow name and likeness stuff to bring some players to College Station? Yeah, maybe. But here's what Jimbo had to reply. And let me tell you, Jimbo was mad about it. Here's his quote. "We never bought anybody. No rules were broken. Nothing was done wrong. The way we do things, the ethics of the way we do things in these families, it's despicable that a reputable head coach can come out and say this when he doesn't get his way. The narcissist in him doesn't allow those things to happen, and it's ridiculous when he's not on top." Hey, Nick says Jimbo was cheating by letting boosters recruit. Jimbo says Nick is lying. So again, who do we believe? Well, remember a couple things. Remember, these two have known each other for years. In fact, Jimbo worked for Nick. Both are trying to garner favor from the court of public opinion, though. Hey, Nick Saban doesn't want this name and likeness stuff happening. Nick Saban has had a monopoly on college football. Why would he want it to change? He doesn't want anything to change. He just wants to keep on rolling. Jimbo Fisher had enough and fired back. So which one of them's lying? They're both lying. They're both liars. It's what they do. If you're wondering, is one lying more than the other? No, they're both lying. I guarantee that Jimbo Fisher probably did allow some of this stuff to go. And the NCAA has no power to do anything about it. Don't act like Nick Saban is completely innocent, though. There's an awful lot of kids going down to Alabama, and I think we all kind of know why. It isn't just that you can go down there and win some games. I got a feeling recruits are getting a little bit more than that. So, who do you side with? I just kind of look at them both and say they're both kind of doing the same thing. But I'll say this. I absolutely can't wait for Texas A&M versus Alabama on October 8th. Because these two took hard shots at each other. And I can't wait to see that game. That is going to be a true rivalry game. Coming back, speaking of schedules, going to talk a little bit about schedules. Yes, it's a fun time of year. We got baseball going. We've got basketball and hockey in the playoffs. But we all know what this country gets excited about. And that is American football. We love college football, but we really love the NFL. Well, when we get back, we are going to take a look at some of the best games that are going to be coming this fall in the NFL and in college football. So it is nearly Memorial Day weekend. Hey, football is a long ways off, right? Well, it might not be as far away as you might think. Do you realize that we are going to have real, live, actual college football games in just 94 days? Now, I realize we haven't really dug into which teams are going to be strong this year. We haven't really looked at who are going to be the teams to watch or anything along those lines. That will all be coming in due time, trust. But today, we are going to be looking at some of the best games on the college football schedule. And I'm not talking about the conference games. We all know. We're going to be watching Ohio State versus Michigan. We're all going to be watching Alabama versus Texas A&M. But I'm talking about those early games, those out-of-conference games. When we are just starting to learn who is who, we have some really, really fun games that we're going to talk about. One of the very first weekends of actual college football games will be Saturday, August 27th. Now, I mean, you hear that date and you go, that's still summer. But on August 27th, Nebraska and Northwestern are going to be heading over to the Emerald Isle and playing some college football for our Guinness Swilling Cousins in Dublin, Ireland. Now, are either of these teams really going to be that great? I don't know. Probably not. But one thing about Nebraska that I always give them, especially under Scott Frost, they do play really close games. To be fair, they usually lose those close games, but they do play close, exciting games. Northwestern versus Nebraska, opening weekend of college football. Yeah, I'm going to be watching that at least a little bit, right? But the next weekend, we get a Friday night game that, again, it might not be great teams. But remember that TCU, Texas Christian, has a new head coach. They got tired of Gary Patterson. And now Sonny Dykes comes to TCU. He did have some success at Southern Methodist. Well, Dykes and the Horned Frogs will be coming to Boulder to face the University of Colorado. Is it a marquee matchup? No, probably not. But TCU versus Colorado on September 2nd on a Friday night? I mean, it's not bad. But then, that Saturday, September 3rd, college football absolutely takes off. Get ready. It is going to get wild on September 3rd. I'm warning you right now. Put that date on your schedule. Remember that the Cincinnati Bearcats had 4 players drafted in the top 100 picks of the NFL draft. They had 9 players selected overall. But Cincinnati is still going to be tough. And they will be going to Arkansas on Saturday, September 3rd, to face a Razorbacks team that is probably going to be ranked in the top 25. Cincinnati versus Arkansas? Cincinnati versus the SEC? Okay, that's not bad. Next up, the University of Utah won the Pac-12 last year, and then they gave Ohio State a great game in the Rose Bowl. Remember that shootout? Utah might be ranked in the top 10 this coming year. They are going to be headed to the Swamp to face the SEC's Florida Gators, who are in a bit of a rebuilding mode. They fired their head coach, Dan Mullen, and they brought in Louisiana Lafayette coach, Billy Napier. They are hoping Napier is going to bring scoring back to Gainesville because that is what he did at Louisiana Lafayette. They put up some numbers. So this might be a better game than people think. But we aren't done. The defending champion Georgia Bulldogs will be facing the Oregon Ducks in Atlanta. Now, the Ducks are going to have to overcome the loss of their head coach, Mario Cristobal. He left for Miami. But Oregon did get Auburn transfer Bo Nix, and it sounds like he's going to be the starting quarterback for Oregon. Georgia versus Oregon? Yeah, that should at least be fun. We're not done. Another Pac-12 team, the Oregon State Beavers, will be hosting the Boise State Broncos. And if you haven't heard, they are saying that Boise State is going to be joining the Big 12 very soon. So Boise State versus Oregon State, that's kind of like a Pac-12 versus Big 12 game. Not bad. Finally, we get the main event on Saturday, September 3rd, when the Notre Dame Fighting Irish will be headed to Columbus to take on the Ohio State Buckeyes. Are you kidding me? I am literally not getting off the couch all day on September 3rd. Ohio State will probably be ranked top 3, and I'm betting Notre Dame will be ranked top 10. Yeah, that's going to be a phenomenal day of college football. But we're not done with that weekend. Because remember, that weekend is Labor Day weekend. Well, the NFL hasn't started yet, so we get another game on Sunday. We're going to get the LSU Tigers with their new Southern head coach, Brian Kelly.
It's a great night to be a Tiger. I'm here with my family, and we are so excited.
And they're going to be playing Florida State in New Orleans. That's not a bad game. Florida State trying to get some things going, trying to return to prominence a little bit. LSU versus Florida State in New Orleans, yeah, that's a solid game. But we're still not done. Because then on Monday night, we get an early ACC matchup as Clemson will go to Atlanta to play Georgia Tech. Now, I don't know that Georgia Tech is going to have much. But remember, Clemson is trying to rebound from that below average year last year. Clemson should be a top 10 team. Dabo Swinney has got to be fired up. Because remember last year, when Clemson kind of underachieved and we all looked at him like, wow, what's going on there? What did everyone start doing in the sports media world? Oh, Clemson's done. They're done. That was a lucky run. Dabo Swinney is done. They have been knocked off their perch and they're not coming back. Well, I promise you, Dabo Swinney is using all of that as bulletin board material. And I have a feeling Clemson is going to bounce back a little bit this year. I don't know if they're going to be, you know, top three, top five. They're going to be top 10. They're going to be pretty solid, I think. Okay, so we fast forward to the next weekend. And on Saturday, September 10th, we have another heavyweight match. Because the Alabama Crimson Tide and grouchy old man Nick Saban will pack up and head to Austin to face the Texas Longhorns. And let the eyes of Texas know, hey, here is the SEC. This is what you're going to be facing every week. Good luck. Because Alabama is most likely going to be the number one team in the country. They've got quarterback Bryce Young. They return a ton. But Texas should be a top 20 team. They've got some things going in their favor. Alabama versus Texas? Yeah, I can't wait for that. We get another Pac-12 versus Big 12 matchup on September 10th as well, when Herm Edwards takes his Arizona State Sun Devils.
You play to win the game.
To Stillwater to face the 40-year-old nutcase Mike Gundy.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
Hey, Oklahoma State should be a top 25 team. That's not a bad matchup either. Then we get the Baylor Bears. Remember, a major surprise from last year. They will be going to Provo to face another surprising team from last year in the BYU Cougars. This will feature two teams that will probably be both in the top 25. Hey, these two teams can play. And don't forget, BYU is going to be joining the Big 12 next season. So Baylor versus BYU, that is a Big 12 preview. Again, not a bad game. I can't wait for that one either. We have one more weekend to touch on before we get to all of the creamy goodness of the conference schedules. Because once we get into those conference schedules, I mean, you're into rivalry games. You're into matchups of teams that just know each other. They know how to play each other. But one final weekend, on Saturday, September 17th, we get a few more SEC out-of-conference games, and they could be very good. Because Penn State will be trying to rebound from their disappointing season a year ago, and they are going to be headed to the Plains to face the Auburn Tigers. Penn State versus Auburn? Oh yeah, that's going to be one we're all going to want to watch. The Miami Hurricanes are hoping that new head coach and former Cane player Mario Cristobal is going to be able to bring that program back to at least some level of respectability, and he's going to get a chance to get a win against the mighty SEC on September 17th when the Miami Hurricanes go to College Station to face Jimbo Fisher and Texas A&M. Hey, the Aggies are going to have a ton of speed. They return some talent. Texas A&M should be a top 10 team. Finally, on September 17th, we're going to get an old school rivalry that has sadly kind of gone away. And I wish it hadn't, but that's just how this has all turned with conferences and people moving around. But this game's going to bring back memories of people like Johnny Rogers and Billy Sims and Tom Osborne and Barry Switzer, because the Oklahoma Sooners will be headed to Lincoln to face the hated Nebraska Cornhuskers. New Oklahoma head coach Brent Venables, hey, he's going to have big pressure on him to keep things rolling in Norman, and you surely cannot afford to slip up and actually lose to Nebraska. The Oklahoma faithful will not like that one single bit. And then you have Nebraska, whose own head coach Scott Frost played in some of these games himself. And hey, Scott Frost has got to be feeling some pressure himself. Nebraska keeps finding ways to lose close games. Scott Frost needs to find a way to at least compete with Oklahoma. And if he could beat Oklahoma, that would go a long way in him staying at Nebraska a little longer. Hey, we're going to have some really good out-of-conference games coming early in college football. And then the season is going to get even hotter, because then those conference games start coming and college football is just rolling, where you just want to sit on your couch all day, every single Saturday. I can't wait for it. But it isn't just college football that has some exciting games coming. And again, the NFL isn't that far off. Think about this. Training camps will be opening in less than 2 months. The Hall of Fame preseason game is on August 4th. I swear they just keep moving that game up. And then real regular season games will be starting in the NFL in just 106 days. So what are the most interesting games on the NFL schedule that was just released a couple of weeks ago? We've got a number of games that are going to be loaded with drama. And it starts with the Thursday night opener to the regular season, when we get one of the matchups that we were all at least kind of hoping for last year in the Super Bowl. And honestly, this could be a Super Bowl preview this year, because the Buffalo Bills are stacked. They have quarterback Josh Allen. They have Stephon Diggs. They have added Von Miller to a defense that needed a little more pass rush. Well, they will be going to Los Angeles to face the Super Bowl champion Rams, who are poised to make another run at another title. Because the Rams went out, they signed Bobby Wagner. They signed Allen Robinson in the offseason. So the NFL season in week one on that Thursday, hey, it should start with a bang. Bills at Rams should be a lot of fun. Now, next up, not to go full homer or anything, but the opening Monday night of the season, it's going to have a little extra juice too. Of course, the Seattle Seahawks traded away starting quarterback Russell Wilson to Denver for Drew Lock and some draft picks. Well, week one Monday night, Russell Wilson gets to go back to what will undoubtedly be a raucous crowd in Seattle. And you know, they are going to want to let him know they are not happy. Plus, hey, Drew Lock does have a lot to prove, I would think. Denver at Seattle. We get an old AFC West matchup with a lot of bitterness from Seattle. That should be a lot of fun in week one. We jump to week three, where we are going to get a matchup between two quarterbacks that have to be coming to the end of their careers at some point, don't they? So how many more times can we see these two square off? Because Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers will be going to Tampa to face Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Now, do you realize that these two quarterbacks have only played each other four times in their long, illustrious careers? And Brady has actually beaten Aaron three of those four times. Hey, how many more years do these guys honestly have left? This could be one of their last matchups ever. I mean, Brady's only going to play, what, another 8-9 years? So you never know. This could all end very, very quickly. But Brady versus Rodgers in week three, yeah, I can't wait for that game. In week four, we get an NFC West matchup that is always pretty tight, but it is also a rematch of the NFC Championship game from a year ago as the LA Rams go to San Francisco to face the 49ers. Now, we've already talked about the Rams a little bit, and they're going to be tough. They're going to be a contender. On the other side, I'm not exactly sure what to expect from the 49ers. Jimmy Garoppolo is still the quarterback, I guess. But Trey Lance is the guy in waiting. Well, how long can you wait? When do you have to kind of get Lance in there? Plus, will do everything wide receiver Deebo Samuel come out and play like he did last year? Remember, he said he didn't really want to do that. In fact, he said he wanted out of San Francisco. So the Niners have a good team, but we will see how good in week four against the Rams. Week six is going to feature another playoff rematch and what could be another playoff preview as the Buffalo Bills go to Kansas City to face the Chiefs. You will remember last year in the divisional round, the Bills and the Chiefs put on one of the greatest playoff games in NFL history. We had six lead changes. We had three lead changes in the final 2 minutes. The game went to overtime, and the Chiefs drove for a winning score in overtime and never even let Buffalo have the ball. In fact, it actually got the NFL to kind of rethink their overtime rules a little bit. But Josh Allen versus Patrick Mahomes in week six, yeah, I can't wait for that rematch. Week eight will be the final week of October, and it is a Monday night game, and Monday night is going to be Halloween. Well, Monday Night Football will feature two old division rivals that are going to be very interesting to watch this year. Of course, Joe Burrow led the Cincinnati Bengals to the Super Bowl last year. And now, the Cleveland Browns have Deshaun Watson. Now, I'm not sure when the NFL is going to clear Watson to play, but if he is cleared to play by Halloween, Burrow versus Watson, yeah, that would make for a wonderful game to watch while we are all handing out Halloween candy to the trick-or-treaters. Week 8, I'm looking forward to that one. We move to Week 10, and I don't think the NFC East is going to be that strong again this year. However, when the Washington Commanders go to Philadelphia to face the Eagles, I might have to tune in for that. Because Carson Wentz will be going back to the city of brotherly love that boos Santa Claus. I mean, I don't know if this is a great game, but I'm kind of interested to see how Eagles fans treat Carson Wentz because we know he kind of fizzled out in Philly. So we know how they treat most everyone. How are they going to treat Carson Wentz? Week 10 is going to be very, very interesting. Okay, coming back. We still have to get to the second half of the NFL season, and we have some really good games to watch, including not one, not two, but three major holidays. Plus, we still need to get over to our Daily Dose Top 5. Hey, we love the NFL in America. We watch each game like, I don't know, it's a Seinfeld finale. But it isn't just the games that we watch. We're going to talk about that when we get back. So let's finish up looking at some of the best games of the 2022 NFL schedule that came out a couple of weeks ago. And one of the greatest days of the year, every single year, is Thanksgiving. I mean, it's not too complicated. Food and football. It is a beautiful combination. The downside to Thanksgiving is that the games we get for the NFL on Thanksgiving, they're usually not great because we have to have the Detroit Lions and we have to have the Dallas Cowboys every single year, no matter how awful they may be. Well, this year, once again, we get three games. And this year, once again, we get three games. I'm not exactly sure if they'll be great, but they might be interesting. In the first game, the Buffalo Bills go to Detroit. Okay, well, honestly, Buffalo's really good. Detroit is getting better. I think they'll be scrappy this year. They're starting to upgrade their talent level. But Buffalo probably blows them out, right? Like, this probably isn't a close game. Game two, the New York Giants will go to Dallas. I don't have a ton of faith in New York giving much of a game here. I guess we can hope for a good game. But Dallas probably wins that, right? And then in the final game, the New England Patriots will go to Minnesota to face the Minnesota Vikings. Again, that might actually be a close game. You've got Mac Jones, young kid trying to figure things out. You've got Kirk Cousins, older guy, still trying to figure things out. So not a great day, but hopefully one or two of those Thanksgiving games ends up being watchable, ends up being at least close. That is in week 12. Week 13 features another rematch from last year, and that is the Kansas City Chiefs going to Cincinnati to play the Bengals. Now, you'll remember, these two teams faced each other in the AFC Championship game, and after spotting the Chiefs a 21-3 lead, the Bengals mounted a wild comeback. They took the lead late. The Chiefs had to tie the game and force overtime, but then in overtime, the Bengals forced a turnover and won the game and went to the Super Bowl. Kansas City at Cincinnati in week 13, that should be a really, really fun rematch. Also in week 13, we have a team that I'm not exactly sure what to expect. Because what are the Miami Dolphins going to do this year? I mean, they went and they got speedster Tyreek Hill. They have some serious speed on offense. But can quarterback Tua Tagovailoa be the guy? And can Miami's defense hold up? And what kind of coach will nerdy Mike McDaniel actually be? Hey, he had rave reviews from all of his players in San Francisco when he was with the 49ers. Well, in week 13, McDaniel and the Dolphins will go to San Francisco to play those 49ers. And we're going to be trying to figure out who each of these teams are because I honestly don't know. Is Miami a contender? I don't know. Are they a playoff contender? Yeah, I think they might be. What about San Francisco? Are they going to take a step back? Or are they going to come together and be a Super Bowl contender? They have that kind of talent. Miami at San Fran, not a bad game. In week 15, we will get the Los Angeles Rams going on the road to play the Packers in the frozen tundra of Green Bay. Can Aaron Rodgers rally that Packers team despite the fact he's not going to have that much help? And also despite the fact that he and the Packers franchise kind of hate each other. I don't know, but I can't wait for it in week 15. Now on week 16, remember this year, Christmas actually falls on a Sunday. So most of the NFL is going to play their week 16 games on Saturday, Christmas Eve. Then the NFL saved three games for Christmas Day. And unlike Thanksgiving, we actually got three pretty good games for Christmas Day. Because Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers go to Miami to face the Dolphins in game one. Okay, not bad. The Denver Broncos and Russell Wilson go to Los Angeles to play the Rams in game two. Again, that's pretty solid. We know Russell Wilson knows those Rams a little bit. Then Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers go to Arizona to play the Cardinals. Now, it's right down the end of the Cardinals season. We know lately they've been falling apart. We'll see if they can hold it together this year. But those all have a chance to be very, very good games. In week 17, we will see the battle for Los Angeles as the Rams will play the Chargers. Now, the Chargers have gone out and they have had quietly a really good offseason. The Los Angeles Chargers may have upgraded their roster a little bit, and I don't know that that many people are talking about them. We all think of the Chiefs. Of course, Russell Wilson came to Denver. You think about maybe the Las Vegas Raiders, but the Chargers have kind of upgraded their roster a little bit. That should be interesting. The best part about Rams at Chargers in Week 17 is that you will literally see fans changing jerseys in the stadium to whoever wins the game and then acting like they are fans of that team. That, my friends, is going to be absolutely epic to watch. You may come in a Charger fan, but if the Rams are winning, you will see people buying that Rams jersey and putting it on because they will be cheering for whoever wins. Final week of the regular season, week 18. We know the Buffalo Bills look like the class of the AFC East. Maybe the Miami Dolphins will make a little noise, but what will those New England Patriots with quarterback Mac Jones do in his second year? In week 18, the Patriots will head to Buffalo, and we will see if Bill Belichick has anything left. Hey, the NFL season will be starting before we know it, and it is going to be another fun season because, once again, parity is king. There are legitimately 8 to 10 teams that could get rolling and could win it all, and it is what separates the NFL from everyone else. We don't know who is going to win it. The NFL here in America is king. Now, as we do so many weeks here at the Daily Dose, we need to get over to our Daily Dose top five. Hey, we love the National Football League. Yes, we know it has its flaws. Everything isn't perfect, but man, do we love the NFL here in the US of A. From September to February, this country is completely enthralled by the NFL. We watch games at an insanely high rate. And I'm not talking about the big games, rivalry games, playoff games. Of course we watch those. But an average like Thursday night game between Jacksonville and Atlanta, it's still getting more views than the NBA Finals, than the World Series, than the Stanley Cup Final games. An actual important game? Oh, it gets more views than all three of those events combined. How much do we love the NFL? We love it enough that we still watch the NFL even when it isn't actual real life games. Today, our Daily Dose Top 5 is counting down the top 5 NFL events that we love, that we watch, that aren't even games.
Not a game.
Yes, it doesn't matter. We're still going to watch them. We start off at number 5. And whenever the Super Bowl ends in like early February, there is literally a sense of depression for sports fans. We know the season is so far off. We have nothing to watch until then. So I guess that explains why some people actually do tune in and watch the Underwear Olympics, better known as the NFL Combine, which of course takes place every year in late February back in Indianapolis, Indiana. Now, the Combine is a chance for NFL prospects to be measured, questioned, interviewed, and tested in a host of drills that primarily have nothing to do with actually playing football on the field. I mean, you can go watch game tape of these guys, and yet, we want to know how fast did you run the 40? How high can you jump? How fast can you swim? I don't know. And despite the fact that these drills don't really have that much to do with actual football, the Combine is on the NFL Network every year, and there are a number of people that tune in to watch it. It's not a game. It doesn't even feature NFL players yet, because remember, these are still college kids. Oh, but we will watch the NFL Combine, even though it isn't an actual game. And for that reason, it comes in today on our list at number 5. We move next to number 4. And we actually just witnessed this one take place. We have talked about it at length today on the podcast. In the NFL, the league schedules your games based first on your division and then on a rotating schedule so that you play different divisions every year. And then your opponents are assigned based upon how you did the previous year in hopes of creating even more parody. We know, parody, kind of annoying and also the greatest thing ever. So you get your schedule based on how you did the previous year. The better teams play the better opponents, or at least that's the goal. The lesser teams get lesser opponents. So the bottom line is this. When your season ends in the NFL, you know who you're going to play next year. And you even know where you will play them, whether it's home or away. And yet, we love when the NFL releases their official schedule. Because we want to know who's getting those primetime games. Who's going to be on Monday night? Who's going to be on Sunday night? Who's going to be on Thursday night? Who's going to play on Thanksgiving this year? Who could be playing, you know, around Christmas or New Year's Day or whatever? Who gets that big opening game? That Thursday night, week one, who's going to be playing that one? When is your team's bye week? Because, you know, if it's too early, your team could break down late. If it's too late, you might have a lot of injuries. When is that bye week going to take place? Do you play any games overseas? The NFL schedule release is yet another event that involves no actual games. Oh, but it doesn't matter because we love the NFL and we are still going to be watching. And it comes in today at number 4. Up next at 3, we arrive at a date that every year brings genuine excitement. But that date isn't actually the same for everyone. And yet, when you find out the date that your favorite team opens their training camp, oh, it's a pretty exciting day. Now, maybe you actually go to training camp and you attend it in person. I did that every year growing up. The Denver Broncos used to hold their training camps up in Greeley at the University of Northern Colorado. And we would make the drive up there. You'd arrive early. You'd go check out some of the merchandise maybe they were selling. And then you'd set up a lawn chair and you'd watch across a field over a rope and see the team going through their drills, maybe even scrimmaging a little if you got a lucky day. And now the Denver Broncos hold their training camp at Dove Valley at their complex. Hey, I've taken my own kids to see it. You get to see the players up close. You get to see them in person. It's free to go in. And you're not watching games, but you're watching practice or something like that. Now, maybe you attend training camp in person. Or maybe when training camp opens, you just tend to listen a little closer to sports news. Or watch even the training camp recaps. Because you want to find out who looked good. How did this rookie look? Does he look like he can play? Who got hurt? Did we have a big injury? Or who got in a big fight that day? But when NFL training camp opens, oh, we tend to tune in. And we want to try to watch as much of it as we can. Again, no games involved, but we will watch NFL training camp. We arrive at the number 2 event that isn't even a real game that we still watch like maniacs because we just can't get enough of the NFL. And we reach a little bit of a weird one. Because I've said, these aren't games on our top 5 today. Well, our number 2 entry sort of is games, but not really games. I know it's kind of confusing. But remember, the NFL labels their preseason games not as games, but as exhibitions. They don't actually count. They are glorified practices that, I might add, the league still charges full price for. But we do watch some of this nonsense. We especially watch the first games. And we tune in for like the Hall of Fame game that is getting earlier every single year, it seems. But then we watch our personal favorite team's first game. And you watch it for about 5 minutes and then you realize, yeah, this is really, really bad football. Like it's a lot of second, third, fourth, ninth string guys. This is horrible football. So we watch a little bit the first one and then you kind of tune out because you're like, this is pretty bad. But then we tune back in for like the second or third exhibition game. Because that second or third game sometimes serves as like a dress rehearsal. And the starters will play into the second half sometimes. And we will full on watch that. Now, do these exhibition games mean anything? No, they don't. Not at all. And it's really hard to get a good read off of those games even. Because even if, say, you have 10 starters on the field, the ball's going to undoubtedly find that 11th guy that has no idea what they're doing. NFL preseason games, they're a complete joke. Like, I understand why we have them. I get why the NFL owners want them, because they give them more money. But, like, as a fan, they're really horrible to watch. And again, understood, as a coach, you want them because you do want to put these guys kind of in live simulated situations and see how they respond. You're trying to make your roster cuts. They're horrible games, though. They're terrible to watch. But we're still watching them. Oh, we're still going to tune in. Make no mistake about that. And in fact, there are even some degenerates out there that are still gambling on them. That, by the way, might be the lowest of the low. If you're gambling on NFL preseason games, you need to seek some help. But NFL preseason games come in today at number two. So we reach the number one NFL event that we love, that still have nothing to do whatsoever with actual games on the field. And what else can it be? Because the NFL draft is literally just the league picking teams. And still, we are absolutely glued to it every single year, because it is the one time of year where every team in the league has hope. Maybe your team figured it out. Maybe your team got a steal. Maybe your team is on the way to recovering. Maybe your team is going to stay on top. We love the NFL draft, which is kind of weird, right? Because no one cares about the NBA draft. No one even watches the Major League Baseball draft or like the NHL draft. We barely even know when they take place. The NFL draft? Oh, we're watching every pick. We make our own draft boards. We bet on the picks and we grade every pick and every move and every trade. The NFL draft is the absolute prize jewel of the kingdom of the National Football League. No games, no injuries, no actual competition. But the NFL draft has us glued to it every single year. We like other sports in our country, but we absolutely love the NFL. And we can't wait for training camps to get going again and get this year started. By the way, mandatory mini camps begin next week. Oh, and actual training camps? Yeah, they'll be opening in about 50 days. But I mean, who's counting, right? Hey, next week on The Dose, I am working on something a little bit different for you. I am chasing another guest, and you're going to have to trust me on this. You absolutely will not want to miss it. Something a little bit different than we've ever done, but I'm actually excited for it myself. So be sure that you tune into The Dose next week, and be sure you let a friend know to do the same, because I think you're really going to enjoy next week's show. Hey, I want to say thank you to each and every one of you for listening to The Daily Dose every week. Thank you for the emails. Thank you for the texts. Thank you for the tweets. Thank you for going over to DailyDoseSports.com and checking out the new things going up there every week. But most of all, thank you so much for sharing the show, for sharing the videos, for sharing the articles. We absolutely love it when you do that. Have to say thank you to JSP. Could not do any of this without you. I will see you all next Wednesday. Have a great week and have a very safe and a very happy Memorial Day.
Not a game, not a game, not a game. We're talking about practice.